Destination Freedom. Listen, it's the Freedom Bell.
Aye, the Freedom Bell, my friends. And this is Paul Revere, called back from the shadows by the sound of the Freedom Bell to cry again a warning that the price of freedom is eternal vigilance.
Destination Freedom is presented by station WMAQ in the interest of human freedom the world over. Paul Revere is the symbol of warning, ready to ride down the skies to shout an alarm. His destination, now and forever, freedom.
Aye, the price of freedom is eternal vigilance. Vigilance directed toward protecting your rights. Too many of you abuse your rights without ever knowing it. Tell me, do you ever think about your right to free speech? What it means to you? How you can use it to best advantage? Protect it? Do you ever realize how thoroughly many of you do abuse your right to free speech? By speaking without the facts? By thinking shallowly and speaking carelessly? Aye, when you speak out against something, some activity, or some person, without first knowing the real facts, you do great damage to your right to free speech. And you can damage beyond repair the character or reputation of an innocent person. Now, this very pattern happened in Avondale. An innocent situation developed into a dangerous battle because of careless thinking and speaking. But let Kenneth Evans tell you about it. He's a reporter on the Avondale Sun, and he knows the facts better than anyone in town about the crisis in Avondale.
Yeah, being a reporter, I do get around Avondale quite a lot. Avondale is a nice little town, not so small that everyone knows everyone else, and yet, well, not so large that you can't go from one end of the town to the other without making a long trip of it. Yes, you know about the size town Avondale is. And the people? Well, they run about average, I guess. Human nature doesn't change much, no matter where you find it. I think you'll find anxious, doting mothers like Mrs. Kent most any place. And kids like Richie. Took me quite a while to piece this story together, but seems to me it all started the morning Richie went to school for the first time on his new bike.
Now, Richie, do be careful going to school, won't you? Oh, I wish your father hadn't bought you that bicycle. I worry about you all the time when you're riding it.
Oh, gee, Mom, I'll be all right. All the kids ride their bikes to school.
Yes, I know, but I still don't approve of it. If your father hadn't...
Oh, gosh, Mom, I better get cutting. That Miss Barnes sure don't like it if we're tardy.
Miss Barnes? Oh, yes, the new teacher. Now, Richie, don't be in such a hurry that you go too fast.
Oh, sure, Mom, sure. You'd think I was some baby or something.
Oh, and Richie, come right home after school, won't you? You know Mother will be worried about you until you're home safe.
Good grief, kid. Couldn't you see that wall? You went right smack into it. Did you hurt yourself?
No, I'm okay. But my bike...
Here, let me untangle you.
Yeah.
Good thing I happen to be passing or you'd never get out from under. There you are. Now, how do you feel? You seem to be all in one piece.
My bike. Hey, mister, how does it look to you? It's still okay, isn't it?
Why, sure. Not a scratch on it. See?
Oh, golly, am I glad about that. For a minute, I was afraid I'd nicked it or something. Then my mom would sure know I had an accident with it. Golly, am I lucky.
Yeah, you sure are.
Hey, you don't know her, do you? My mom, I mean?
No, afraid not. What's the matter, kid? Scared your mother will give you a licking?
Oh, no. She wouldn't lick me. You know what she'd do?
Nope.
She'd take this bike away from me, that's what. And never let me ride it again. This beautiful, shiny, new bike.
Mm-hmm. I see. Well, you needn't worry, kid. I won't tell her. Say... Let me see that arm. You're holding it like it hurts.
Oh, it's nothing.
Here, let me see.
What?
Mm-hmm. You gave it a bad knock. It's only a bruise, though. It'll probably be black and blue before the day is over, but in a day or two, you won't even know you hit it. Better get on to school now, kid, if that's where you're going.
guess it was rather unfortunate that Richie was late for school that morning and that he couldn't pay attention during his class.
And now, class, we'll take up our history lesson. Yesterday, we learned something about the Louisiana Purchase. Let's review this briefly today. Richie, can you tell us the boundaries of the territory covered by this purchase? Richie? Richard Kent, you're not paying attention. Can you answer the question?
What? Yes, Miss Barnes.
You can answer the question. Well, that's fine. Richie? The class is waiting for your answer.
It was, in 1803.
Class, please, please. You see, Richie, you weren't paying attention. I did not ask the date of the Louisiana Purchase. Richie, I'd like to have a little talk with you after school, so will you please remain in your seat when the bell rings?
Yes, Miss Barnes.
Now, I see several hands raised. All right, Elizabeth, do you want to tell us the correct answer?
Any special reason why I was tardy this morning, Miss Barnes?
Of course there was, Richie. There's always a reason for tardiness.
It just got later than I thought.
All right, Richie. If you don't want to tell me, we'll just forget about it. I know that you will try not to be late again. Now, what I really want to talk with you about is that you don't seem interested in your studies lately. It wouldn't have anything to do with that pretty new bike I heard you had, would it? Get so upset, Richie. I was only teasing.
Well, gee whiz. I don't see why you have to say a thing like that. My new bike has nothing to do with school, see?
Do go back and sit down, please, Richie. We haven't finished our talk. Be careful. You almost fell over that chair.
Ouch, my arm. Let go of my arm. Richie, what's this woman doing to you?
Oh, my poor darling. What have you done to my son's arm?
But I was only trying to...
Did you hurt your arm, Richie? Roll up your sleeve and let Mother see.
Oh, no. My arm's okay.
Let Mother see, Richie. I must know how badly you're hurt.
But, Mrs. Kent, surely you don't think
I... Let go of my sleeve, Mama.
Now, see, your arm is hurt. Now, Mother's right here. You needn't be afraid to show me what this woman has done to you. There. Now, let's see. Why, your arm is all black and blue. Oh, my poor precious.
But I couldn't possibly have bruised his arm like that. I hardly touched him. Let me explain, Mrs. Kent. You see...
No explanation is needed. I know what I've seen. All I can say is that it's fortunate for my son that I was worried enough about him to come here and discover for myself why he wasn't home from school on time. But I hardly expected this. I assume you are Richie's teacher.
Yes, I'm Teresa Barnes. I kept Richie after school to have a friendly little talk with him about...
Friendly talk, indeed. Is that what you call abusing defenseless children?
Mrs. Kent, you're jumping to conclusions. I only...
Come, Richie. We're going right home to bathe your poor arm. And as for you, Miss Barnes, your conduct will be taken up with the proper authorities. Believe me, you've not heard the last of this.
Mrs. Kent was right. It wasn't the last heard of this affair. In fact, as it turned out, it was really only the beginning. A vociferous woman, Mrs. Kent, much given to speaking her mind to all who would listen. Now, you know, being a reporter, no one is more in favor of free speech than I am. But in this case, jumping to her own conclusions the way she had, I felt that Mrs. Kent was abusing the privilege to speak out. For instance, the way she did at the meeting of the mothers she held at her home the next night.
I'm certainly glad that she called this meeting.
Come on, ladies, please, ladies. I suppose most of you mothers are wondering why I've asked you to come here for a meeting.
Oh, we've heard all about it, Mrs. Kent. Such frightful treatment of your son by that teacher. Broke his arm, didn't she?
Believe me, Clara, we want to know more about this. It's an outrage. Was Richie conscious when you got there?
Oh, please, I'd rather not talk about that part of it now, if you don't mind. You're all mothers, and you know how I feel.
Of course,
you know. The main thing I want to establish now is, do we, the mothers of the children taught by this Miss Barnes, intend doing something about the abusing of our children?
Well, we're going to do something.
Good. I knew you'd all feel that way. We don't know, of course, just how long this mistreatment of our children has been going on. Unfortunately, children don't always confide in their parents about these things. Richie has absolutely nothing to say about this frightful incident, and... oh, I just can't bear to think what might have happened if I hadn't gotten there in time.
Georgie's always coming home full of scratches and bruises, and goodness knows where he gets them.
Yes, and remember that bruised eye Tommy had last week, Clara? Said he fell down. But now I'm beginning to wonder.
But you see, I am speaking with certainty. I saw this Miss Barnes actually grabbing at my boy's arm until he cried out in pain.
Oh, can you imagine that?
Now, I put the story before your mothers plainly. What are we going to do about this teacher?
We must take steps to get rid of the teacher.
Yes, indeed. I'll not send my children to that school another day until she's gone.
Well, good. We're in agreement, then, to take immediate action to see that this Miss Barnes is ousted from the school. Now, I think perhaps our first step would be to see the principal of the school and put the facts before him.
This is a very serious charge you are making concerning Miss Barnes.
I certainly do. And I intend to see that justice is done.
Of course, Miss Barnes has only been with us a few months, but I must admit I am shocked at this revelation of her misconduct. I have had no similar complaints, and I had considered her a very competent, reliable teacher.
Why, I'm amazed at your attitude, Mr. Adams. Well, you seem to be condoning...
Now, don't misunderstand me, Mrs. Kent. As principal of this school, I shall certainly do everything in my power to see that there is no reoccurrence of this sort of thing. I shall speak to Miss Barnes immediately.
That is not enough, Mr. Adams. You don't seem to understand. My boy was practically beaten up by this woman. I am here as the representative of all the mothers whose children are in Miss Barnes' classes. And we demand that this woman be dismissed immediately. Why, it's not safe for our children to attend this school while she's around.
I'm afraid it is not within my power to dismiss her, Mrs. Kent. That would be a matter for the school board to decide.
All right, then. If you won't do anything, Mr. Adams, and I can see by your attitude that you won't, I shall personally take this matter up with the school board. They shall be informed of your views on the subject also.
It was about this time that the press got wind of the affair. I worked for the evening sheet, so you can imagine how sore our city editor was when the Avondale Morning Star published an article with a headline in 32-point type reading, "Mothers Angered Over Teacher's Mistreatment of Pupil." So I spent part of the day hot-footing it all over town, interviewing mothers. They were plenty steamed up over the incident, all right.
Yes, and you can print this in your paper, too, Mr. Evans. I'm keeping my children out of that school until Miss Barnes is fired.
I'm keeping my children home, too. They're not in Miss Barnes' class, but my sister's little girl is.
But if your children are in another class, why keep them home?
Why? Because Mrs. Kent told a cousin of mine, and she told me, that Mr. Adams, the principal, refuses to do anything about the matter. A fine thing, I must say. If he permits one teacher to treat children that way, no child in the school is safe. No, sir. As long as he's the principal there, my children will stay home.
The thing was spreading like wildfire. Everywhere I went, mothers seemed to have the same attitude against the teacher and even against the principal. I was kept so busy getting the mother's viewpoint that it was late in the afternoon before I got over to the Kent residence, hoping to get an interview with Mrs. Kent. Hello, Sonny. Your mother in?
Nope.
Expect her back soon?
I don't know. She said maybe she'd be back kind of late.
Well, about what time? Wait a minute. You're Richie Kent, aren't you?
Yeah, but I don't know you. My mom always said
Listen,
that...
kid. How'd you like to have your picture in the paper?
I don't know. What for?
Oh, just to show folks what you look like. I know a guy that takes swell pictures. I could come back tomorrow and bring him along. What do you say?
I don't know. What would I have to do? In the picture, I mean. Could I have my bike in it?
Sure, why not? That it over there?
Yeah, that's it. Honey, isn't it? I'm learning to ride real good, too. That is, most of the time.
I'll bet you are. Here, let's pose you a minute. Pretend you're holding the handlebars of your bike.
Uh-huh. Like that?
No, hold your left arm up more. Ah, that's it.
Okay.
Say, that's some bruise you've got there. How'd you get a kid? Fall off your bike or something?
You let go of me. Get out of here. I don't know nothing about anything. Go away. Go away.
Hey, Richie, come back here. I'm not going to hurt you. Oh. Poor kid. That teacher must have scared the living daylights out of him. Boy, am I anxious to meet her. I was really surprised when I saw Miss Barnes. From the size of the bruise on the Kent boy's arm, I'd expected her to be an Amazon or something. Certainly, I didn't expect her to be so young or so attractive. There was something frankly honest about her, too.
And that's my side of the story, Mr. Evans. I just don't understand any of this. Actually, I did nothing but try to save the boy from a bad fall. I didn't think I grabbed him very forcefully, but perhaps, as the saying goes, I just don't know my own strength.
Are you sure you hurt the boy?
I just don't know. It's so funny. I just reached out to hold him up.
You couldn't have struck him then.
Oh, no, I'd never punish a child so severely.
You know, Miss Barnes, after meeting you, I'm inclined to think there's something about the boy's arm that we don't know about. And we've got to find out what it is.
You mean you will help me? Because I'm going to fight back, even if I have to do it without help.
Atta girl, Miss Barnes. Put it there. You can count me in on your side. That was a brave promise, and I did my best to keep up my end of the bargain. First, I wrote up a very sympathetic story about Miss Barnes. I gave it everything I had. When the city editor saw it...
Look, Evans, no doubt this teacher's a pretty swell chick in your eyes. But do you have to drip it on quite that thick? I can't print that. You think I want every mother's club in town on my neck?
Yeah, but you always want facts, so I'm giving them to you.
Facts, sure, but you're taking sides. And so far as the public is concerned, the wrong side. Tone it down, Evans. We'll print a small item giving Miss Barnes' story.
The next morning, I went over to the school to see what the principal had to say about the matter.
You can't go in there, mister. The school's closed.
Closed? But what's going on outside here?
We're picketing the school.
Yes, and we're going to see that it stays closed until that principal and that teacher are fired.
Yeah. No more lessons. No more boys. No more teachers. 30 miles.
This affair was becoming the biggest news in Avondale. It seemed to have grown out of all proportion to its original importance. It just shows you what one person can do by talking too freely. When I phoned the city desk about the school being closed, the boss didn't sound too happy. He seldom is.
It's time you phoned in. Where you been, Evans? What kind of a rag you think we're running, a monthly? The Morning Star's had a man over at the school board all morning. Covering a special hearing of this Kent Barnes thing. Why weren't you there?
Well, boss, how didn't I know?
Head over there now and find out what it's all about.
Oh, sure, boss, sure. I'm on my way. I arrived at the offices of the school board too late for the hearing, but not too late to get a statement from the president of the board.
You may quote me as saying that we have given very careful consideration to all the evidence presented to us by both Mrs. Kent and Miss Barnes, also by Mr. Adams, the principal of the school. The board has requested Miss Barnes' resignation and has suspended Mr. Adams for the time being until some of this uproar blows over. Don't quote that last.
Now, look, just between us, off the record, do you mean to say that the board believes Mrs. Kent's story rather than Miss Barnes?
Such a shocking affair, Mr. Evans. We've never known anything like it before. But there was no other decision we could make. We've been flooded by letters and phone calls demanding the resignation of Miss Barnes and Mr. Adams. We can't let the school remain closed. We We did what we thought was best for the community as a whole.
Yeah, it looked as though Miss Barnes had lost the fight before she had even entered the skirmish. I gathered my notes together and went back to the office. I just started typing the lead, school board, oust teacher, when in walks Miss Barnes, and she has a worried but determined look about her.
I'm taking you at your word, Mr. Evans, about being on my side.
I sure am. What's the pitch?
I've got to make Richie talk, Mr. Evans. He's the only one who can clear me.
And you want my help, huh?
Yes. You see, I've been giving a lot of thought to the way Richie acted that day after school. I've been reviewing everything over and over again in my mind, and I keep coming back to the remark I made which made him so excited.
What remark?
Well, it was just a teasing remark about his new bike.
Hey, you know, I think you've got something. If I'd been astute not to see it before. The kid ran away when I asked him if he'd bruised himself falling off his bike. You didn't make that mark on his arm, Miss Barnes. Now, come on. We're going to get the true story out of that kid if we have to lick him right before his mother's eyes to do it.
I certainly shall not call Richie in. Hasn't the poor child suffered enough at this woman's hands?
Quite a few people have suffered over this affair, Mrs. Kent. And it's time the true facts were brought out.
True facts? Just what do you...
You don't call him in here immediately. I'll go and get him.
Better do as Miss Barnes says, Miss Kent. I don't think she's fooling.
I'm warning you. If any more harm comes to Richie...
Call him, Mrs. Kent.
Oh, dear. Well, Richie. Richie, darling. Come here a moment, dear. Mother wants to see you.
Oh, gee, Mom, I was just Miss Barnes.
Come here to Mother, Richie.
What she want?
Richie, you always liked being in my class at school, didn't you?
Sure. I liked it all right.
We got along pretty well together most of the time, didn't we?
Sure.
Richie, darling, you don't have to answer any of this woman's questions if you don't want to. Now, if she frightens you...
Oh, I'm no darn baby. She don't scare me none. Nobody does. Not even him.
Well, I hope you're not afraid of me, Richie. A big guy like you. Although I must say that you acted like it the last time I saw you. Running away crying. Baby stuff.
You didn't scare me. It was just that...
Just what, Richie?
Nothing. But I wasn't scared of you, see?
Oh, what were you afraid of, Richie? Were you afraid that I'd tell on you about your falling off your bike and bruising your arm, I mean?
Why, Richie, when did you fall from your bike? You didn't tell Mother. Was it a bad fall?
I didn't fall off my bike.
It's all right to tell now, Richie. I'm sure you've learned to ride much better by this time. So it couldn't possibly happen again.
Oh, you bet I have. Why, you should have seen me yesterday.
I know you must really be good by now. You'd never get a bad knock on your arm the way you did before.
Not now, I wouldn't.
I know. You really got quite a bruise, too. Richie, I'm sorry I grabbed your sore arm so hard that day after school when your mother came in. If I'd known...
Well, you didn't grab me hard, Miss Barnes. Why, heck, you hardly touched me.
But really, I don't blame you for being afraid to let your mother know about the accident. Small boy like you.
What do you mean, small boy? Bet I'm big enough to lick half the kids in the class if I tried. I wasn't afraid of my mom, either. It was just that... Well, I didn't want her making such a fuss over me. Maybe taking my bike away so I wouldn't get hurt again.
Richie, what are you saying? After all Mother's
done... Mrs. Kent, do you realize what Richie has just been saying? He's telling, before witnesses, that Miss Barnes didn't injure him that day. He's explaining where he actually got that bruised arm. In other words, he's vindicated Miss Barnes.
Why, yes, I...
I represent the press, as you know, Mrs. Kent. And believe me, I'll see that these facts are made public.
Oh, but this will make me look so foolish to people, my friends.
Not half so foolish as when you abused the privilege of free speech to the extent of speaking up before you check the facts. Perhaps another time you'll remember that every word you utter, unless you're sure of its truth, may prove to be a boomerang. Come on, Miss Barnes. I think there's still time to get this in the final edition.
the way it happens. Someone doesn't learn the true facts, and there begins a campaign based upon false assumption. A little incident involving an innocent person is fanned into a major situation. And as the loose talk grows in volume, the little incident becomes a swirling tornado. Aye, and it takes an objective thinker. A newspaper reporter in the crisis in Avondale. One who can and is willing to search out the facts. Aye, it takes an objective thinker to save the innocent from the impulsiveness of a group incited to hasty action by an individual who thought she knew what she was talking about. Well, I guess you'd say there's a moral to this story, especially for all freedom-loving people who want to remain free. Think. Investigate. Know the true facts. Then and only then can you speak freely about any person, activity, or thing. That's the way to show your true regard for your right to freedom of speech. For if the day ever comes when there are many people around like Mrs. Kent, there will be one thing absent shortly thereafter. Freedom of speech. You cannot abuse a right and expect to keep it. For there are people in the world today who will take advantage of your thoughtlessness to take away your rights. Thoughtless, selfish people must learn that the right to voice opinions is a privilege only so long as it is not used to interfere with the welfare of the individual or the community. Aye, and it's well for all of us to realize that freedom of speech is a sacred trust, gained for us, kept for us, by men who knew its true worth. It is now a trust which we must handle carefully, lest we lose our way along the road to destination freedom.
Paul Revere, portrayed by Maurice Copeland, will return next Saturday to narrate another chapter in the story we call Destination Freedom. Presented by station WMAQ in the interest of human freedom the world over. Today's script was written by Madeline Peters and produced under the direction of John Cowan. Jack Lester played Kenneth Evans, with Fern Persons as Miss Barnes, Alma Platz as Mrs. Kent, and Corny Peoples as her son Richie. Catherine Payne was heard as the gossipy woman. The special music was composed by Emil Soderstrom and was played by Helen Morton and Jose Bethencourt. Our engineer was Al Osterhoff, sound effects by Bill Rose. This is Charles Chan reminding you that the sound of the Freedom Bell is your invitation to follow Paul Revere along the road to destination freedom. It's a Silver Jubilee on NBC. Tomorrow over this station, the NBC Symphony inaugurates its summer concert series. Featuring as guest soloist Patrice Munsell, the NBC Symphony Orchestra under conductor Alfred Wallenstein will perform selections by Verdi, Bizet, and Rimsky-Korsakov. Another three-star show in your Sunday listening lineup is Mr. and Mrs. Blandings, featuring Cary Grant, Betsy Drake, and that famous Dream House. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.